People often ask me, hey, can I sit down with you one-on-one? Let me pick your brain, get whatever info from you on how to sell on Amazon, how to get started. Well, guess what? You can sit one-on-one with me for more than 3 hours on my mini course, aaroncordovez.com/start. And I will sit down with you one-on-one and give you all the info that I think you need to get started on Amazon. I have been burned on so many investment opportunities, Ponzi schemes, crypto, which to me, they're not that all that much different. Anyway, here's the thing. I've gotten burned over and over. So I wanted to create a vehicle for accredited investors to put their money in a place that has a huge potential upside and a low possibility of a downside. That is our fund. Go to aaroncordovez.com/invest to find out if it's right for you.
This is the Aaron Cordovez Show.
Whitney.
Yes.
You look so amazing today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm very lucky.
You're so funny. Okay. So we have some questions, right?
Yeah.
So we have...
People ask me all the time, how do you get a wife like that?
Okay.
I really don't know.
You're very sweet. Thank you. So we have a bunch of questions that came from our audience. And one of them is, how you learned to manage the time to be a business owner, mom/dad.
I had never learned to be a mom yet.
Of 3 kids, be married, and still have spare time to help others on whatever they need.
I think it takes more time to be single. Because now you got to worry about like all these going out and worry about all the apps and the Tinders and this and that girl and this thing. I think it takes more time to be single because you're wasting time dicking around literally.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just opening that. That's my beginning of my answer.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, I would say that we didn't just start all of a sudden at 100, right? We started with one kid, one product, one job or 2 jobs, right? So if you followed our story.
We started with one job. You had the job.
I had a job, right?
And I had the job of just like being a couch potato.
Right. So it's like kind of habit stacking. If you've ever read this book that Aaron got me to read or suggested to me and I decided to read it.
Exactly.
It's called Atomic Habits. It's an amazing book. But I have this naturally in my life, this thing about like habit stacking, which I didn't even know about this book before. But Aaron read the book and he's like, listen, Whitney, this reminds me of you. You have to read this book. So then I did read it and it completely resonated with me because one thing is absolutely habit stacking. So you get down one stable piece of part of your life. Let's say a job. So first you get that down. You know it like the back of your hand. All right, now you're ready to start a new venture in addition to that.
I think habit stack, from what I remember from the book, again, it could be this is, let's say my habit, I have a habit that every day I run in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I don't have that. I should put that back in. But habit stack would be in that time that you're running, put on a podcast because now you're doing 2 things at one time. Mm-hmm. That would be the actual definition of the habit stacking from my memory. Okay. Is that so you do 2 things at once. So like, you know what I saw like on TikTok or Instagram or somewhere that like you already brush your teeth, right? Everybody brushes their teeth mostly. I hope so. Please brush your teeth. Okay. If you're not brushing your teeth, then just do that. That's the first step. Otherwise, you do what's called a habit stack where you could literally squat and brush your teeth while squatting. So now you're exercising and brushing your teeth because you already have the same time. Your time is already being used. So if you do something during that time, and then every time you brush your teeth, you know, oh, I got to squat.
Well, then that's not really what it is then for me. Because what I was trying to explain is basically first you get the job and you have that and you know it like the back of your hand. Okay, now you can add another job. When you're fully, you're no longer like in confusion, you have everything down on your job, then okay. Now you can add, what are you going to do between, let's say your job is until 6. So you get off, you eat dinner, and then from 8 till 12 p.m. at night. What are you going to do during that time? Mm-hmm. You can decide if you're going to start a new business venture, if you're going to sit down and watch a movie, if you're going to figure out what different types of investments that you want to like really dial in on. It's really up to you and your decision of what you want to invest your time in.
That's true.
Essentially, whatever that is, then you stick to it. And you stick to it for at least 3 months and to see if you can actually make this into something. Don't go less than 3 months before you like decide to like bomb out and quit on that thing that you've decided to invest your time into, right? So
it's building. Basically, there's this guy, Tom Cummins, and he says, you know, your freedom is built from 5 till 10 o'clock at night or whatever. Okay. What are you going to do with your time after you do your 9 to 5? What are you going to do? Are you going to invest in yourself? Are you going to invest in a business? Are you going to invest in Netflix? Because you could know, oh, I've seen some conversations in some rooms and people are talking about this series, that character, this thing. Your mind is so powerful. If you put it toward like Netflix, you could know the name of every show, the cast, the people, who won the Emmy, who won the blah.
It's so true.
And your mind is working and it's actually becoming a pro, you know, Netflix watcher. And you're going to help their stock and you're going to help everything. And
If you ask Aaron and I about all these different series, we know nothing. I don't even know. I've never even watched Friends. I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a choice.
That's a bad thing.
Okay. So anyways, it's a choice. The point is that it's a choice. And I've chosen to not invest my time into things that I don't believe are going to help me forward my life or help me help others to forward their lives.
That's true. And look, I mean, she hasn't even seen a lot of The Simpsons, maybe like 2 episodes or something, because her mom didn't let her watch Simpsons. I spent like my entire childhood watching The Simpsons. But at the
my
end of the
day, mom didn't let me watch most things, not just The Simpsons.
Nothing, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. There was literally a freaking lock on the TV itself. Okay? My sister actually learned how to like break through the lock, but still, even then, I was the oldest of 4 kids. So I didn't really have the luxury of sitting down and watching like cartoons and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all different. So what happens is, what are you going to put in? So when you're the eldest of 4, sometimes you don't have the choice even to go and watch TV because you have to like change diapers and this, get people to school and doing that, or being a mother, you know, eldest sibling and being a mother could be 2 things, and you don't have a choice and you have to invest. That happened with me when she wanted to have a baby because it's putting a pressure on me that I no longer have an option to just play video games all day long and produce nothing and make nothing valuable and literally sit on my butt. When you're forced and you put that pressure into becoming better or making something valuable, that's when diamonds are made, right?
That's
diamonds
right.
are made with intense pressure. So I
that's
was
right.
like,
just like the milk frother. You were under intense pressure. Right? The last day and the last hour.
I wasn't going to do it.
Before the Canton Fair closed after being there for 10 days. And you called me up saying, babe, I didn't find it.
It's true.
I was like, Aaron, get back out there. You're not coming home until you find it. I don't care if you find it at the Canton Fair. You're going to go from factory to factory until you find it. So go find it.
How do you respond to pressure? Because someone can give you pressure and you can say, well, I'm done. I quit. And sit down there and say, I don't care. I don't know. I want a divorce. I can't deal with it.
But I also said, Aaron, I know you can do it. I was not just like saying.
No, but I'm not. Yeah. It was perfect. Okay. I'm just saying, whatever the pressure is like, it's fine. Pressure is good. You should have pressure in your life. Because guess what? Today, the reason why like our founding fathers, right, the guys in 1776, and those guys were so independent and so good and learned, and they actually knew things, and they knew the Constitution, and they fought for it, and they were literally fighting for their life is because the attacks were very open. Okay, people who are attacking them, they're gonna shoot them, they're gonna fight them, and they're open about it. And you know there's a danger that you have to fight against. Okay, you're fighting for freedom, right? The England or whatnot is taxing and this, and they're doing all this crap, and you know they're suppressing you and they're oppressors, right? Today it's hidden. So back then people knew they had to fight. Today people don't know. They're like, well, I'm here in America, I have access to the internet. You know, I can spend my time on TikTok. There's nothing bad I'm going to have. You know, I can always have McDonald's for a dollar. You can't even do that. But the point is you can have like a very substandard life that seems good while people are passing laws to get you drugged, to get you shocked, to get you indoctrinated, to get you to get confused, and to get you to give up all of your loyalty. So if you know you're in that fight and you understand it, then you can fight. Anyway, you don't have to fight that fight. That's maybe too big of a fight. Just be like, you need to feed your kid. I don't know. Whatever it is for you. But the point is, with some pressure, you make time do things for you. With no pressure, time makes you its bitch.
Okay. Right. Well, it's good. You definitely need to be in control of your time. That is absolutely correct. Otherwise, I don't know. It's not that easy to make it for sure. But the point was, is that the question that we had at hand here was how you learned to manage the time to be a business owner, mom slash dad of three kids, be married, and still have spare time to help others on whatever they need. The main point is that it didn't start from 0 to 100 all at once. Like, we didn't just start now. We started this 9 years ago. We started from nothing. The start date was 9 years ago. Okay. So I just want to make that very clear because it can seem overwhelming. How do you get to $75 million a year? Yeah, it takes a lot of work, but you don't just do that in one night. Okay. It happens over time. And mm-hmm. I would say the most successful thing for me as a wife, as a mom, the biggest thing that's helped me the most, and I think that helped you too, pretty sure of it, is every single year we would sit down and write down every single one of our goals.
We've still been doing it, but just off and on. We did it better before.
Yeah, we did it way better before because we would
Let's do it today. What are we waiting for? Tonight.
Yeah, sure. But what we used to do is, starting 9 years ago, we would go to a remote location. For instance, we went on a boat and we would go on the same boat every single year and we would spend 5 or 6 days together and we would first like start out what is our goal? What is my goal and what is my purpose for myself personally, physical and mental and my investment of how I'm going to, what am I going to invest in myself spiritually whatever I wished, right? And then for him and I, what is our goals and what is our purposes? Where are we going as him and I, as a relationship?
Do we have three kids or four kids on there?
We had three kids on there. Yeah.
It's funny because when we had two kids, we're like, oh, I remember that the later ones in the later years had changed to like two kids, I think.
Yeah, it did.
But then when we went back to the earlier one, it had said like three kids.
At the beginning, it did.
Maybe there was one with four kids somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but... Of course, doing the goals is extremely important.
I mean, that helped to make us fully aligned. Yeah. We wanted to donate in big ways to help social betterment activities. And we had written down when we first started 9 years ago. Yeah,
I think I put like maybe we'll give $10,000, no, $100,000 or $50,000 or something, which was like, oh, that's, could you imagine giving that away? And we've done that several times in one go now.
Yes, for sure.
So... another big piece that they said there, how do you still find time to help other people? And I didn't think about doing anything for anybody else, like in terms of like the social media or like consulting with somebody or doing like that, up until we were kind of covered for our own basic needs. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, how could you help somebody else before you get yourself in order? I mean, I guess it's possible, but for me, it worked more for me, my extended me, which is you and Luna. Mm-hmm. Our first daughter.
Right.
I had to help her before I'm going to help someone else. Like, for I sure. have to help my own family. Mm-hmm. So that was a priority. We have the money, we have the opportunity. Now, we built the studio, we're doing all this stuff. Yeah, I want to help people now. But the time was created by building out the team and by not having such an intense worry about every second of what's going to happen, like, tomorrow. What's going to happen with our next, rent or mortgage payment or whatever. That's not the worry now. Now I could focus onto the next piece. But the first thing is to become a professional, make enough cash to take care of yourself, and then you could spend time. Or another aspect too. I mean, actually at the very beginning, I think we were doing signups for the course that we did, right? Amazing Selling Machine that we took. Mm-hmm. We signed up some people and that was like, they paid 50% of that as affiliate commissions. Right. So like you find time to help somebody because you also get paid for it. Mm-hmm. That was a few people. I don't know if any of them really made it. I know one of them started a brand that did quite well, but... Some of them we also don't know. I think some of them were like people that we didn't even really know.
That was like 8 years ago.
That was a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So guys, the success rate is not high in any business. In any business or anything else. But the point is, if you do enough places and commit enough, something will pan out if you make it.
It's a matter of like persistence on one given course and not quitting. Let's say something happens on that one thing that you are persisting on. Let's say it all of a sudden bombs out, then not quitting, because there's many people that would quit. And I'll tell you right now, we could have quit many different points in this company's life.
True.
There was many points where it would have been more comfortable for us personally to be done, but we decided not to be done because of the responsibility that we had. Also, at various times, we were providing jobs for other people. It wasn't just about us. If we decided to be done, then that would also be letting go of a lot of people, and then their families would be affected.
But yeah, the point is, how do you find time for everything? Cutting out stuff, I guess, you know?
That's yeah, cutting out. You have to sacrifice as you move up.
Everyone
as you
has 24 hours.
What?
Everybody has 24 hours.
Everybody does, yes. And there is, as I said before, like we've talked about this before, I always had this mantra in my head, sacrifice now for a more beautiful tomorrow. And Aaron would always repeat this to me because things were not easy. I was by myself for the first year of our first daughter's life, from literally the moment she woke up until the moment she went to sleep.
8 a.m. till like what? Like probably 10:30 p.m.
It was not like easy. And I was a first time mom and I didn't have any support group. It was just the way it was. I had one friend and
sounds so sad.
And my brother would come and see me every once in a while. And even though my parents lived right nearby, they came maybe once every 3 months. It is what it is. But the point is that I had to suck it up, right? And I didn't put any of my frustrations on him.
Right.
And I had to decide that I wasn't going to barf on my husband and tell him how much I hated it. Because I knew personally, if I barfed on him and told him how much I hated it, then he would have stopped. Because he loves me so much. He doesn't want me to be annoyed or upset or sad.
It's true. So I mean, like, I would have probably
held
figured
it
out
in.
And stopped.
Like,
I would have probably stopped.
Of course you would have. I already know that you would have because you care about me so
much. I thought you were
so
doing
much.
Great.
I know.
Just so you know, I really like... How's it going? Oh, it was great. Like, Luna's doing this. She's so happy, blah, blah, whatever. I mean, it's weird because some, you know, everybody says, like, you have to always talk about stuff. And I guess we talked about it since, of course.
Of course.
But in that go time, that I still am shocked that you did that, just so you know. Like, I'm like, wow. For me, I was so, like, focused, right? I'm working, you know, I basically have, like, work time for, I don't know, 10 hours because it's at least 1 hour commute, 8 hour workday, oh, plus lunch, probably like 10 and a half hours. And then it's like, good, let me work on how do I build a business? How do I get myself up to point to do the business? How do I all this stuff? And I was gone. But it's the idea was our child needs support. Like, how do we not just do the bare minimum? And how do we set an example? And it's that was that sacrificing now. And then now we're going on this amazing trip. What in? About 10 days.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't even say where we're going to go because then it's confidential. But we're going somewhere in some islands and some very nice place in some crazy villa, whatever, that costs more than your spending money you would have had for 3 years back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I had a budget every single month. Like, he had a salary, I think it was $120 a year. And
in California.
In California, which was obviously we had a lot of taxes. So I had a budget. What did you give me every week?
$20.
$20. Like, literally, I could only spend $20. That was including for Luna's clothes or shoes or his clothes or shoes or my clothes or shoes. Like, so if I wanted to buy something that was more expensive, I had to save it up, right? That obviously didn't include food or, like,
of course, yeah,
sustenance to survive. But it was, like, for superfluous items like clothes and shoes, okay? Or a toy for the baby. So... The way that I'll tell you how I handled it is I didn't communicate to him how horrible I felt about it, you know, because I was all by myself. But the way I also handled it to not be so annoyed was to stay outside because, you know, outside is always better than inside. So I would take our daughter on walks like every single day to the park, do activities, be outside of the house. But that's about sacrifice. So,
yeah, and
not many people talk about this. That's why we're even mentioning it.
What we would do.
This is the infancy of Zulai. We had one product at that time.
It's a support too, because if she would have said, "No, we need to get, I don't know, I need a Swarovski or not a Swarovski, a freaking Tiffany something like now. I need to get that for Christmas or something." No, you know what? Like our New Year's gift was like, we're gonna launch a business. We're gonna put $5,000 into it,
which was on our credit cards.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's the risk because that investment in that possible thing, okay, it was like $4,000 in the course, and then all in all was like $8,000 or $9,000. That is more than like the extra spending would have been for years.
Yeah.
And why? Why would we put that money? It could have been a loss. Actually, the chances are that most likely that money would have gone to waste. But it was, there's also a little bit of a chance that that actually gets us out of this scenario and into a much better scenario. And investing the seeds that will bring out an amazing future. And that's what ended up happening with the business and with that risk that we took. You know, it's a humongous risk. It was like $8,000-$9,000, whatever it was, to start.
That was the course plus the product cost.
Yeah, we didn't have like just that money just like sitting around somewhere. That was, you know, put on the card.
And also, I want to say I did the same training. I didn't want to. This was the one time.
Oh, the pressure.
I'll tell you, I put pressure on him, but he also puts pressure on me.
Not just that one time. There's many times.
Yes, I know. For instance, I hate dealing with all the computer nitty-gritty shit. Okay? And he made me confront sitting down on the computer doing all the training on how to sell on Amazon, how to do flat files. Like, I cannot stand doing flat files. I remember once screaming at him so hard because he was making me do the flat files and I didn't want to do it. And he could easily have done it in like 2 seconds. But he made me redo the, like, watch the training video over and over and over until I could do it myself. I was so frustrated, but he didn't give me an option. Like, it was like, oh my God. Okay? That's... He definitely gives me pressure to have to do it also. Like, so I've sourced a product all the way. I've done the entire production line myself personally. Parts of it I definitely hated, and parts of it I could totally do easily, like no problem, and I have no issue. But the main part about selling on Amazon, like the logistics of that part, the ads and uploading flat files, like those are the things that I hate the most. But you know, I have my strengths. And I have my weaknesses, and that's those are my weaknesses. And he also has his own strengths and weaknesses, and he pushes me and I push him.
That's true. So at the end of the day, you have to always know you will need to cut something out of your life. You cannot keep all the things that you're doing now and add on an entire whole new business that's going to bring you the freedom, financial or otherwise, of your time if you don't cut out something. Because there is waste in your life right now that you're holding on to that you do not want to let go, period. There is not a single person that is so busy that you cannot find out and carve out 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day.
Okay, so there's something that he used to do.
I mean, unless you're a mom of like 9 kids or something.
Right.
Which, in fact, I there's a one guy on the podcast, Isaiah.
Yes.
His mom right now is pregnant, did you know?
No.
His mom's pregnant, he's having another baby.
Wow.
So I think that's baby number 9.
Beautiful.
Okay. But all those children now have businesses, and like that family is set because she's been teaching them, homeschooling them. Literally, their math problems are like, sell this product on eBay and see the commissions, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, the mom of 9, she put, I'm going to invest in these children that are my future in the next generation and teaching them business skills. And like, so the point is, no matter who you are, you can invest your time in some way that's going to be more remunerative long-term for you and your family and hopefully your community and the world at large. We need to do math problems like that too.
Okay.
For you. I was thinking about the kids, but you know, she needs that too. Anyway, okay, so.
Yeah.
Good. And one more question, I think we should wrap it up.
Okay. Are there any specific challenges or conflicts you've faced while working closely with your husband/wife?
So, what's the answer?
Yeah, so that
was. Well, I have to say too, another thing. Someone might take this and say like, hey, you shouldn't talk or not communicate. Probably the vast majority of guys that are out there, husbands, fathers, whoever, I don't know the vast majority, but I know for sure not everybody was actually working or going forward and building something for that many hours in a day where you're like, hey, we are investing in the future, because it could be the opposite where you spend 1 hour investing in the future, you know, 7 hours watching movies, 3, like whatever, and then you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to tell him anything because we're investing in the future. Well, that's not like, I had to be pushing just as much as she was pushing. I mean, we're on the same page. Purpose and the same push. If your guy, let's say, is not pushing, I wouldn't recommend to like not tell him, you need to move your ass. Like it was a lot of pressure, but the interest was in, hey, what's that next step? What's the next move?
Previous to that, the year prior, I was definitely pushing him even to get a job.
Yeah. Well,
so I mean. The pushing is both ways.
So I think it says, while not affecting your personal relationship, I think the problem, the thing is, you, if you come into an issue, you resolve it. If you resolve the issue in the business, then why would you be upset in the personal? So the only time that it like will upset your personal life is if it doesn't come to a resolution. And sometimes that resolution, by the way, this is a magical resolution that you do, mm-hmm. that I think is some other women are either incapable of or don't try it or haven't even known it's possible.
Tell me, now I'm intrigued.
In some cases, she'll plead the case. This is what I think. This is my opinion. These are the different points. And sometimes I'll look at all that because I'm able to listen and I'll say, I disagree. We're going to do it this way. And she actually goes, fine. Let's see how it goes your way. And we'll check it out. And sometimes I crash and burn. But just like the kid who goes out and wants to play with, I don't know, a hose and put a hose in his face and be like, oh, I feel like garbage. Or open their eyes underwater and get like red eyes. You run into an issue and then you're going to learn from it. So normally what will happen in relationships is somebody says, one spouse says, okay, this and this and this is why I would not agree with that. And the other one says, I'm going to do it anyway. And then the other person goes, I can't believe you did that, and attacks them for doing the thing that they believe. So if I'm doing something that I believe in after hearing her out, and I'm going to go in one way anyway, she's not upset about it. She knows that's what happens. And then if it happens, let's say, a second time, and I'm having the same result, she's saying, no way. And she'll put her foot down and say, you cannot do that because we've just proved this. But that ability to say, I disagree, I don't think it's going to have a good outcome, but I'm going to allow it to happen because, in this case, me, I believe in it and I really strongly want to try it after hearing her out. Most people will have a fight at that time. In this case, no. She goes, go ahead.
I'll give you the exact specific here, okay? So the one that most readily comes to my mind is this strategy that Aaron had about 3.5-4 years ago. We had a $5 million SBA loan and he wanted to invest this money into new products and also into Amazon International to basically make Amazon International blow up for Zulai, for our company, and also to invest in new products that would then do hypothetically very, very well in the US. Now, I disagreed because it was quite a lot of money just to put into something that we never tried before.
To be very specific, we're trying to launch 2,000 new products.
Yes.
2,000 new products at one time.
So I was, you know, trying to reason with him in regards to the personnel, just like the manpower alone to be responsible to make all those SKUs actually make it. Like if you did the time motion study of how are you going to actually make this happen, it's like impossible. And I was like trying to communicate. I mean, I was communicating to him about it. And I told him all of my ideas and thoughts. And he was like, okay, well, I understand what you're saying, but we're going to do it anyways.
And see, at the time, I'll give you kind of background information. And a lot of this will be found. You can read stories just like this one in the book, Psychology of Money. Psychology of Money. Literally, this happens to all people when they find success. I mean, so far, not all people, but from the book, it's happened to many people.
Yes, it has.
We were having like 85-90% successful launches, profitable in the first week. Every product we were doing was so tremendously successful. And the book calls it, you have like the swelled head syndrome. You feel like you're just like this brainiac, like you're so genius and you're never going to fail. And so I wanted to go aggressive with all this money. And I knew this money, if we just keep this 85% success rate, we put in $4.1 million of new products, whatever it was. And all those products sell like how we've been selling, we're going to add $5-7 million of profit. And it's a window that may close. And I just had to go for it. And so I heard her and I said, like, let's go. And at the end of the day, that happened. It didn't turn out so well, but it also had benefits that were unrealized.
For sure.
Which is we got like a cash flow grid. We know exactly when our payments, like we didn't have that. We didn't know when our payments coming in the future. We didn't have this prediction. It changed our way that we do the financial planning. It changed so much stuff. But that failure
was not an argument. And we also got an amazing wholesale client as well as a result that I had been cultivating for the previous 2 years that we were then able to actually liquidate the majority of that product to. And we didn't lose that money. I would say maybe we lost about...
I don't think we lost anything. At the end of the day, we had more profit over time. It was more of a headache because of
The storage fees and the stress
and this and probably like... $1.5 to $2 million that didn't make any money.
But anyways, the point is that it was a risk and we did learn. And that was very important. But that was one instance of where we were in a disagreement and that's how it was handled. I gave him my information And he and I gave him the ability to decide what he was going to do with it. And he decided what he was going to do with it. Obviously, in the end, I did work with him to handle and clean up the mess.
That's true.
And
she didn't abandon me. And so here, I'm telling you, this is the thing. A lot of couples in that scenario go, the wife, I think, would still be talking about it. Let's say we didn't recover from it. Let's just say that would have been like the end.
It could have been the end, because at that point, we actually even had to put the payroll on our own personal credit cards.
Yeah, we took like a credit card balance and we paid
because we couldn't even make payroll.
Yeah, like it could have, that was a point where it could have gone south and the whole thing could have. I think some people will say, how'd you do that, this, and keep reminding the other person of that failure and say, you mess this up here, you mess this up here, you mess this up here.
The thing is, if you look at it, the majority of his actions are actually correct, right? So even the idea of starting the business of Amazon, he had already started four other ideas before that hadn't made it. We had already invested probably about $5,000 into other things. That didn't make it. So when he came to me on this Amazon one, I was thinking in the back of my mind, oh my God, okay, another one. Okay. But I didn't say that to him because, you know, it's going to work. At one point, it's going to go. So I withheld my
doubts.
Negative communication, because that would have been a stop instead of going forward with his idea. So obviously I wanted to back him up, because he's my husband and we're a team. So I was like, okay, all right, let's do it. That sounds amazing. And it did sound amazing, but also like in the back of my mind, I did have my doubts, but I wasn't going to tell him my doubts because that's negative and that's not going to flow towards the power of moving up towards an upward direction.
So the biggest point of, I guess, a spouse, the role of the spouse is empowerment, right? To say, hey, this person has an idea and they have a dream, they have a goal, to say, good, go for it. And if that person crashes, it doesn't mean it was a bad idea, because that could have been a learning that you needed later.
Right.
Right?
That's the point.
You're doing what you think is right. And if you don't judge your spouse for that, they believe that was the right action. Well, trust in them. You chose them out of all the people on this planet as your life partner. Give them a chance to try it. And maybe it will fail. But you know what? You could learn from that and make it not a failure. Or you can always pick it up. Or you could learn. Like, don't stop them before they even get a chance to fail. Because sometimes that failure is needed. I don't know what to say. But that, it's like a belief. It's a belief. It's the belief in saying your spouse can do something special. But you have to trust in their decision-making ability.
For sure.
And
you're majority of the time correct. Majority of the time you do make the correct and right answers and right, you know, outcomes do occur.
But she's obviously, right more of the time than me. Her percentage of rightness and correct decisions are much higher than mine.
On the subject of personnel, sometimes we have a little bit of disagreements on as well. Like, he'll want to hire somebody that I think is interesting, and I'll tell him my ideas about it, and he'll choose to either agree or disagree. And, you know, it's the same.
Most of the time it comes out bad, but the 20% of the time that it's going to work, that person's going to be amazing. And at the end of the day, she's not like upset, like, how could you hire that? Like, she's not bringing up the failure over and over. It's like, it's done. It's in the past. Move on. And it goes, okay, good. One of them's going
to
work out.
We have to keep creating. Not. We have to keep getting new ideas. And the reason that
you
even.
Look at the beauty. Look at the good parts.
Yes.
Talk about the good parts. And what if it's something bad? Okay. Well, that person was going to learn. Anyway, I don't know if I communicated that idea correctly, but I think that is the key skill, Whitney.
Yeah.
That you have, and the ability that so many other wives don't have. Ignore the bad things and let the guy do the thing, crash on us. If you think he's going to crash on his face, give the information. You can give info, blah, 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 blah. But don't put in your doubt. Say, this is data you can think with. And if after that data, person's still going to go after something,
let him.
Yeah.
Let him.
Because you have a dream. You can't be held down like that. You got to be in, like, pushed or supported in some way. I don't know. That's what I think.
So I agree with you.
That's one of the beauties.
I agree with you.
Thank you for doing this show. If you guys have any more questions, hit us up on social media, Erin Cordovez or Whitney Cordovez, and ask your questions, and we'll see if we can feature them here on the podcast. Boom.
Bye.